Welcome back to the program. First hour is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. 314-298-7770. Call now, mention that 590 show, and get a $10 gift card. Joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the host of the PGAtour.com. You can follow her on Twitter at @TarynS_PGAtour. Taryn Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. I think my favorite thing yesterday was after Justin Thomas pretty much won the PGA Championship, and he's walking off the 18th. And who's there to greet him but Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler? I just thought that was awesome.
It was great. It was so great. And if you rewind to just a couple of weeks ago at the Open, it was pretty much the same thing for Jordan Spieth as well. All those guys were waiting for him. It's like such an exciting time right now in golf with all these 20-somethings. They're all such great friends. They're all so much fun to follow. But they're all like competitors too. You know, they'll all tell you that they love to have fun with each other, but you know, when they get out on the golf course, it's on. So
yeah, you're trying to tell me that.
Great.
Yeah, are you trying to tell me they don't give it to Ricky Fowler now because he's kind of like the one who doesn't have a major? You're trying to tell me that like they don't throw that in Ricky Fowler's face every single chance they can. You know they do.
Oh, I'm sure it's thrown around a little bit, but Ricky's got some great credentials as well, and it's arguably even more popular than Spieth, hard to argue with. But honestly, like, you go to any golf tournament and all you see are little kids dressed in Puma gear like Ricky Fowler. A couple weeks ago, I was with my cousin and she has a little one, and he was saying the whole time during the golf during the weekend, he was like, "Dad, tell me when Ricky Fowler comes on." So the kids love Ricky, and he is fantastic for the sport. So, and let's be honest, like, it's going to happen sooner or later for Ricky too. I mean, he's been there. I think this was his 10th career top five in a major, if I'm not mistaken. It might be 7th or 10th, somewhere around there. It's been a long week.
Yeah, those four birdies.
He's had his fair share of chances.
And those four birdie putts he had in the back nine to get to 5 under, I'm like, okay, you know what? He's really applying the pressure here. And I was hoping that he would maybe get one more birdie in, but you know, that green mile on 17, that par five, is just going to be too tough, and it turned out to be. And I think he parred the last three holes to finish at 5 under. But he was applying pressure to everybody that was ahead of him.
Yeah, he was. He was. He didn't go quite low enough, you know, earlier in the week. Really, Saturday, he needed to post a better score than he did. But, he's got the game. He's got the poise. He's won the Players' Championship, which is the strongest field in golf. So he's got what it takes to win. It's only a matter of time. And I'm sure now he is really itching to get that done, considering what his good buddies have done in the past couple of weeks.
What do you think is going to be Justin Thomas's most famous shot from yesterday? Is it going to be that 8-foot birdie putt that kind of teetered on the edge of the hole at the 10th hole? I think it was like 12, 13 seconds. Or is it going to be that 40-foot putt on the 13th?
That chip in on the 13th was pretty incredible. And that's when you really knew, okay, I think this kid might win this. When the putt hung on the edge for us at the PGA Tour, we made that our top moment of the day. That was just incredible. And the crowd, if you watched it on TV and went back and listened to it, the crowd was so incredible on that 10th hole. I mean, when he chipped in on the 13th, it was pretty awesome, but you're right. I think that cliffhanger on the 10th was just, that's a cool moment, you know?
Absolutely.
The hole prior, he had birdied the ninth and put himself, I believe he was one stroke off the lead at that point. And so you knew, okay, he's got a shot here. And then when that happened on the 10th, you're like, okay, something cool might be happening here. But then when he chipped in on the 13th, you're like, all right, this is real. This is going to happen for him. So at that point, because I was my pick the whole week, once the week got started, prior to that, my pick coming into it was Rory McIlroy. But once the week got started, I was like, okay. Yeah, I was like, well, once the week got started, I was like, okay, I think Hideki Matsuyama's going to do this. You know, back when he was on his hot streak in the fall and he won like 5 international events in 6 weeks, I was like, he's back at that again. And I still think he can win here coming in down the stretch during the playoffs and such. But I was like, when Hideki's on, he's on. So I really thought that he was going to pull it off this weekend, and he really put himself in a great position to do so. But yeah, once JT got going on the back nine, I was like, this is it, y'all. He's going to do it. And it's a great story because of, you know, he's a third generation PGA of America member. His dad and his grandfather were PGA professionals, so teaching pros. So it's just a great story for him to do that at the PGA Championship. You can't write a better story than that.
And I think everybody kind of saw the struggles that he had with the U.S. Open too, where he was like, it was him and Brooks Koepka were kind of like battling back and forth between before Brooks Koepka just took it over. So I think Justin Thomas even said, you know, he's like, I took the things that I learned from the U.S. Open and I carried them over to the PGA Championship, and then we saw the results yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this 24-year-old this year, he had three wins already prior to this week, which is just incredible. That's even more than Jordan Spieth or anyone else could say. So he had three wins coming into this week. He had shot a historic 59 as well already, a sub-60 round. And on top of that, like you mentioned, the U.S. Open, he had the lowest score in relation to par in a major championship. So the kid, and honestly, he's got some great golf pedigree as, you know, a junior golfer as well, and was a standout at Alabama. So he is no stranger to the spotlight, and it was bound to happen for him. He's a great player, and we should plan to see more out of him.
You brought up Rory McIlroy, who finished at one over for the tournament, and he really hasn't looked like himself throughout all of 2017 and all the majors. Now he's saying that he has a little bit of a ribcage injury that may possibly sideline him for the rest of the year. Do you think that's really been what's been Rory's problem all year, is that he's just been not healthy?
Yeah. I mean, he's let us in on that all year, the fact that he's had a bit of a rib injury. And, yeah, I really do think that is the case. You have to keep in mind that Rory not only plays on the PGA Tour, but he also plays on the European Tour. So he goes back and forth between Europe and the United States. And let's face it, Europe plays all over the world. They don't just play in Europe. They play in Asia. They play in the Middle East. So he's had a lot going on between the PGA Tour, the European Tour. He got married this year. He has a lot of things going on in his life other than just golf. So yeah, the majority of it is the injury. These guys are athletes, let's face it, and they don't really have an off season anymore. So he probably does need some time to heal up. He is Team Europe, which means that he does not have the Ryder Cup to compete in this year because it's the President's Cup year, so it's the international team's turn. So I think he's seeing that as an opportunity to maybe chill out for a little while. He won the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup last year, so I feel like he thinks that he can maybe, you know, take a little break. And if that means that we're going to see a better Rory McIlroy next year, then albeit. I'm all for it, because, you know, when him and the likes of Jordan Spieth are out there competing at their highest level, it's fantastic for the sport.
Taryn Schaefer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow her on Twitter at @TarynS_PGA Tour. Jordan Spieth finished at three over. He was looking to complete the career Grand Slam. And after the tournament was over, he told reporters that the PGA Championship is the hardest for him to win. Do you think it's because it's later on in the year, and it's kind of weird to say considering how young he is, but do you think it's because he just simply gets tired?
No, I think it's course setup. Each major has their particular type of course setup, and some players are just made. He is made for Augusta National. You know, I think we'll definitely see another Masters or more out of Jordan. I just think it's the type of course setup and the type of courses that they go to that Jordan just sets up better for a Masters and a U.S. Open. He's a phenomenal putter. He's fantastic at course management and risk management. And I think that, you know, the tougher course setups are what benefits him. We saw a Bomber's Paradise this week at Quail Hollow, which is why Rory was such a big pick. And it's no surprise that even though JT is not the biggest of guys, he is a big hitter. So not that Jordan isn't, but he sets up for more of a tough setup.
The 2018 PGA Championship will be played at Belrive Country Club here in St. Louis. You're a local gal. What do you know about that course?
Yeah, I'm super excited. Hope to come home next year for the PGA Championship. You know, I've honestly never played Belrive. It's a private course there in St. Louis, so I've never had the opportunity. If anyone from Belrive is listening, I'd love to come and check out the course. So honestly, I don't have as much insight on it as I would like, but for us in St. Louis, it's been a while since we've had a big event. We were supposed to have one. We were supposed to have the Ryder Cup back in 2011, but that unfortunately was canceled due to 9/11.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since we've had a big event, big golf event in St. Louis, and we're such a big golf community. I mean, I grew up in Waterloo, Illinois, and there are four courses in the small little community that I grew up in. So, and that's not rare for the rest of the suburbs around St. Louis. So it's such a strong golf community, and I know they'll all come out and watch, as everyone should. Make your plans already for next year, because it's going to be fantastic. And let's face it, not only is St. Louis a great golf community, but they're a great sports town. So anytime in St. Louis you put a big sporting event, we're going to come out and we're going to watch, and fans should do it, because it's so much different, golf is, than any other sporting event, because it's just so much bigger in the, just, you know, landscape wise. There's basically like 18 different fields out there, right?
Absolutely.
18 different courts, whatever. But you can also get really close to the athletes, whether it's while they're out there for competition or while they're warming up or practicing. So it's like a really laid-back, fun, loose environment. And I even encourage people to go out to the practice rounds on Tuesday and Wednesday, because you can get really up close and personal with the players at that point while they're just out there practicing or doing the pro-am. So it's a fun, different kind of sporting event that allows you to hang out outside all day as well. So, yeah, it's going to be so much fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
What did Jerry Seinfeld say? He goes, "Now I understand the appeal of golf. It's just nice to be outside in a well-landscaped area."
Exactly. Yeah, grab a couple Bud Lights and walk around.
As impressive as it would have been for Jordan Spieth to get the career Grand Slam, I think what happened to Louis Oosthuizen is even more impressive. He finished second. He has now finished second at all four majors. To me, that's more impressive than winning it, that you actually finished second.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Because that seems like that would almost be more difficult to do.
It is difficult to hang around for that long at a consistent pace and to do it numerous times. I mean, I don't think people really understand how difficult it is to win a golf tournament. You know, only one person can do it every week, and only four people can do it each year in a major. So the fact that Louis has that sort of track record is just great. You know, we don't get to see him all that much over here in the U.S. because he does play over in Europe as well. But, you know, he does come over here a lot still, and we all know his name, and he's already has a major to his name. He's won the Open. So, yeah, it's great. Louis, I mean, did you see him hit up against the tree?
Oh, yeah.
On the second hole inside. So the fact that he overcame all of that, he had a trainer following him for most of his round that day, and to still come out and to put the pressure on, I mean, he's great. And if you guys haven't seen him lip syncing on social media, you need to go to his Twitter today, because it is hilarious. It is so funny.
Taryn, we appreciate your time today, as we did throughout the 2017 major season. And we know that whatever there is breaking news in golf, you're the first person we turn to.
Hey, you know, the finale is coming up, guys. We've got the FedEx Cup playoffs, which are four events start. We have the Wyndham Championship this week, which is the final event in order to get into our four playoff event. And it's a lot of fun, and it's high-stakes golf, and it's the best of the best, and it all culminates at the Tour Championship in Atlanta. So this is a great time of year to follow golf. Even though the majors are over, the playoffs are just as exciting.
We look forward to having you on when that starts.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Taryn. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
That is Taryn Schaefer from PGAtour.com. You can follow her on Twitter at @TarynS_PGAtour, but do not, Giamatti, follow her in real life. We'll take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Bob Nightingale, lead baseball writer for USAtoday.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.